WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to A Biblical Response on this wonderful Tuesday, the 9th of September. Goodness, what happened to August? We just kind of chewed it up, spit it out, and here we are. But today is a new day. God has made it. I'm taking your line. I'm sorry. Ann Limhoko, that's always your line.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's Amen. Okay. You can steal Amen. It. It's from the Bible.
Thank you.
It's from the Bible. Yeah, I know,
but that's your tagline, too, for when I introduced you, so I hate to take that away. And thank you for being here. And also coming back to us from the air, having traversed the face of the earth several times, and is now back safely in our midst.
You're making this sound really big here. I only went to Indiana. I don't know.
Stephanie Jacobson, yeah.
Yeah, good
morning.
Well,
good to have you back, and safely, of course.
Thank you. Yes, it's good to be back. It was a tumultuous ride on that airplane last night. I wasn't sure I was going to make it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
I've never been on an airplane that was...
That much turbulence?
No, they didn't even collect the trash at the end of...
Oh, really?
No, they pilot said, sit down, do not get up.
So, oh, my. Wow.
It was... Yes, I was praying. As we will be talking about today, I guess. Praying is always a good thing, no matter where you are, right?
Prayer will be our focal point. Yeah. And last but certainly not least, my good brother, Keith Masters. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm only in God am I great.
Amen.
You know, it's really him. We give him the glory. We're going to do that a lot today.
Amen.
And we're just going to go right into the topic for today, and Keith is going to get us started.
Yeah, so yesterday we had an event with President Trump, and what he did was he addressed a group of faith leaders, the Religious Liberty Group, as they're known, and that was from the White House Faith Office that he commissioned. And he addressed the faith leaders, stating that a nation that prays is a nation that prospers.
Hmm. Amen.
And, yep. Wow. And he Amen. Called on Americans to pray for the nation as the 250th birthday approaches, and as he calls for America to be rededicated to one nation under God, which
yes.
is in our Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the president announced that the launch of America Prays, which is he announced that at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. yesterday, while tying the faith-driven initiative to the nation's 250th birthday, and as he's asking for God's blessing as it moves into its next 250 years. Mm-hmm. And with America, he said, America is stronger with the power of prayer, and for the 2.5 centuries of freedom that the country has been sustained and strengthened through prayer, as one nation under God.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
So it's a faith-driven initiative, and mm-hmm. President Trump is asking for the nation to pray for him and for our nation. So the event spotlights President Trump's continued effort to make religious freedom a defining issue of his presidency, with everything else that's going on. He's making a continued effort to make faith, its faith, as a defining issue, and placing emphasis on faith in God as a cornerstone of American life.
Yeah, just as a commentary that it's a sad state of affairs when a nation that was founded on religious liberty has now to have a leader call us back to that foundation. But again, the upside is we have a godly leader who is doing just that.
Amen.
And I don't know if people realize how big of a deal this 52 minutes of this speech was. I mean, I was reading this speech because on YouTube you can read the transcript, because I was, you know, pulling out quotes for today's show and whatnot. And I was just thanking the Holy Spirit and thanking the Lord, because I'm like, God, thank you for giving us this leader. It's because we have been praying, and now we have a leader who only says it's because of God that our nation is the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's only true liberty comes from the Lord. You know what I mean? So yes. That comes from Galatians 5:1. It is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. True liberty and freedom comes from the Lord. And to have a president to actually stand up there and speak to all hundreds of people, right, Keith? I don't know how many people were there at the Museum of the Bible, and state the reason why we can only go forth as a great nation is because we pray and because we need the Lord. That is huge.
Amen. So, yeah, and he's asking people to dedicate time every week to get together and pray. And what he's doing, he's requesting for fellowship groups, like small groups from churches, like churches have small groups. Mm-hmm. He's asking for people to get together as a small group and pray together for the nation.
Amen.
And for his office.
For a president to acknowledge that we need prayer. I mean, maybe I've just been too long under the administration of Biden, and then before that we had President Obama, but everything was taken away and you couldn't even say God without really getting persecuted. Now he's welcoming the Lord and stating, we as a nation need to pray. It's a new initiative that he launched yesterday.
Yeah, it is.
And he's calling people to pray with this new initiative.
Right.
So
it's and to dedicate every week to pray for the country and to underscore faith essential to the nation's founding and the future. And we've talked about that before, right, Ann? We've talked about the founding fathers and how they brought this country together through faith and through God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ as the only King of Kings.
If I may, David, you wanted to say something?
I was just going to throw in
about
that,
Benjamin Franklin.
Well, let me just throw this in real quick. As we listen, as we respond to our president's request to pray for the nation, let us also expand that to pray for all of our national leaders.
Mm.
Whatever side they're on, God
absolutely
loves them, and if they're away from him, he wants to bring them back, and if they're close to him, he wants to bring them closer.
Right.
So we can't neglect praying for, and not individual, I might think of an individual senator or congressperson, but I do pray for the House and the Senate and the President, and his cabinet, every day. My wife and I pray for them. And then in the evening, I have my devotions, and I pray for America as well there, too. But also to pray for their protection, because you know that the enemy does not want godly leaders to stay unprotected. They want to take them out one way or the other. So we have to pray for their protection. And when you pray for the nation, let's not forget to pray for the critical aspects of our nation that would be in the sights of a terrorist. You know, it's insane. What is he talking about? There are people that want to mess up our water supply. They want to mess up the power grid.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hack into computer systems. And people install spyware and ransomware and all that other stuff. And so while we're praying for the nation, let's also pray for protections.
You know,
nation.
That's a great, great point.
Mm-hmm.
Even look at our food and what Secretary Kennedy is trying to do to protect our food from all the stuff that they pump into it for the sake of profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very sad. But President Trump had the HUD secretary, the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, Scott Turner, who's a well-known Christian. He spoke yesterday, and this is what he said. And this is when he's talking about, you know, the prayer initiative that President Trump launched. He goes, think about the miracles that would take place over the next year. Think about the transformation that you and I could witness in communities all across the land. Sons returning to their fathers, daughters returning to their mothers, families coming back together, health being restored, financial needs being met, mountains being moved. Think about it. If a million of us every week get together and prayed for this great country, how many know that God is well able to do it? Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I was in tears as I was listening to the speech because I was like, God, thank you for giving us another chance with this nation, you know?
Amen.
Our religious liberties have been under fire for so long, like you said, Anne. It's hard to imagine that we have leaders that are actually speaking this out in public and making an effort to make it first and foremost in this commission meeting. You know, it's just pure... it's God is not afraid to use anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. And, you know, we've seen his life go up and down and in and out of different avenues through the years. And we've wondered if this man could lead the country like we want to be seen as a Christian, you know. And no matter what, the words have been spoken. Mm-hmm. They've been put out there. The ideas have been put out there. And once it gets put out there, Christians can stand and not be as afraid. And fear enters into it. Fear enters into religious freedom when we don't have leaders that are leading with religious freedom at the front end.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what our freedom is built on. That's what our freedom is built on. This country was built on was religious, you know, freedom. So,
amen.
There is a whole movement that is trying. Did I interrupt, Keith?
No, not at all.
There is a whole movement that is trying to change the what do you call it? The way that our nation was founded. They're trying to change it and strip it of the Christian heritage that we have as a nation. And it's so sad. That's why you have to do your homework, listeners. I just finished an 8-week biblical citizenship class at my church. Mm. You can go to thepatriotacademy.com. And through 8 weeks, we looked at the founding principles of this nation. And then we dissected like a quick, easy way to look over the Constitution, Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. A lot of us don't know the Constitution. And if we don't know the Constitution, then they could walk over our constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one thing I learned. I took out my book last night in anticipation of today's show. But, you know, when the delegates got together at the Constitutional Convention, and this was in June 28th of 1787, they were not coming to agreement. Imagine like 13 men and everyone wanted different things. You had the big states like New York and the small states like New Hampshire or Connecticut. They wanted different things and they could not agree to things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, this is what Benjamin Franklin did. He said, he's one of the elder statesmen. We know all Benjamin Franklin, right? This is what he said. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible to danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. Have we now forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?
Mm-hmm.
So they implored, it says here, the assistance of heaven before every morning before they proceeded with their business in founding the country.
Mm.
God has not forgotten that.
No.
It's our nation. It's our heritage.
Prayer.
And
it's prayer.
And at some point in our history, our leaders stopped praying.
They did.
And at some point after that, much of the church stopped praying.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, I was thinking about that. That came on to me yesterday. And President Trump went in his prayer and his recognition of faith in God for this nation to come back, rededicating, rededicating one nation under God. And there's only one God, and as we know. So, and 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen.
So where we were coming from, It's the administration that we were coming from that was trying to indoctrinate and take God away from the United States, from America. Mm-hmm. And one of the kids yesterday, President Trump brought up a child. He's 12 years old, and he brought him up, and he was from California, and he was forced in school to read material contrary to his religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. And he was forced to read that material to a kindergartner.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe that, kindergartner?
Yeah, so he was forced, and this is what was going on in the administration.
And he's in fifth grade, Keith.
He's in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And what he did was he went home and he told his parents what they made him do. He was very uncomfortable. And when he spoke at the Bible Museum yesterday, he said that he loves Jesus Christ, and he was so hurt by what was going on, and he felt so bad that he went and told his parents. And then this is where that ball got started rolling.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And President Trump has since taken away all the transgender material out of the schools.
So the little kid's name was Shane Tusk.
Right, yes.
And the book that the school forced him to teach his kindergarten buddy was about changing his gender using a book called My Shadow is Pink. The book said you can choose your gender based on feelings instead of how God made us. Mm-hmm. We have come to a point in this nation where we don't even stand up for male and just male and female, and that we are created in God's image and we cannot change how the Lord made us.
Amen.
He made us. We are not an accident.
Amen. Well, you know, going back to, and this is a sad event, but the person that killed those kids in Minneapolis just, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he said before, he wrote in a note that he realized that he'll never become a woman, and he will never be a woman. Mm. He realized that would never happen no matter what he tries to do. Mm. He would never be able to change into a woman. Mm. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that he came to a reality of.
It's a shame that there were other issues impinging on his ability to have a balance in his life.
Right.
And he didn't know the Lord, which would have been the one thing that he needed, amen, that relationship he really needed
to deliver him. Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
On day one of the Trump administration, he signed an executive order to slash federal funding for any school that pushes transgenderism.
That's
so praise God for that.
That's
on
right.
day one, yeah. our president did that.
Yeah,
and think about the enemy wants to go after our kids, right?
That's what I was just thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about too the Bibles being taken out of the schools that they used to be taught in, you know, as curriculum in the school system. And it's interesting. Now we know that the schools that are public schools, they're government entities.
Yeah,
and so why are we surprised? It's part of the government. And so why are we surprised that this is happening? But we are, because we've been indoctrinated that this is what we do. We send our children to school. Mm-hmm. We give them over for 8 hours or whatever it is to an indoctrination of we are praying and hoping that it used to be, you know, you're reading, writing, arithmetic and all of that. And now we have a fifth grader, you know, reading this trash.
Bad book.
Trash.
Bad, bad book.
To a kindergartner.
He was being forced to read it.
So, you know, he did talk about the Bibles in the schools and the prayers in the schools and stuff. And that was a real turning point in this country, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really was. So marking this as a turning point back to the Father is important. And it's not just the country. So when we say the country, who is the country? Who is the nation?
We the people.
People. We the people.
Going back to how they made the Constitution, you know, we the people. This is the founding of our nation. And so it does rely on what we do in our private homes. Mm-hmm. It does rely on what we do in our private lives. So,
and it's we the people that have the power. Like, it has... It's such a misnomer that the president has more power than the people or the judicial. Do you know the judicial in Article 3 of the Constitution is the shortest? And now we have weaponized the judicial system that they make a lot of decisions and actually are making policy that they're not supposed to. It's all unconstitutional.
It is unconstitutional.
And we the people, we the people have rights because we can vote people who support policies like this or vote them in or don't vote them for them again and a new person will
run.
And
when I go into a ballot box, a lot of times, well, I used to not know. I didn't know who the judges were and, you know, should I vote for them or should I not? And a lot of them are appointed. Then they come back and then they are voted upon.
Yeah.
And so you can get them out of there. If someone's appointed them, your way of getting them out of there is to vote against them. But you have to know what their voting record is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do a little bit of research and know. And Florida Family Voice is really good about putting those those efforts out
those
there
guides.
To get people to understand, who they are and what their voting record is. So if you don't know, go to Florida Family Voice, Google Florida Family Voice. And
it's flfamily.org, flfamily.org. They put out, there's no excuse to not be informed when you vote, flfamily.org. There's all kinds of guides that Christian organizations put out there. But I believe we're taking a break, David.
We are right at this very moment.
Okay.
Thank you. How prophetic of you.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And we are back to a biblical response, and I was going to invite you now that you've had a chance to hear where we're going, and if you have a thought or a comment or a question, whatever, you're welcome to call 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I'm glad that day they were running specials on ones and twos because... It's an easy number to remember. Keith, back to you, buddy.
Yeah, so during this proclamation for returning to prayer, President Trump also brought up the fact that the Department of Education is issuing new guidance protecting our rights to prayer in schools. And you had said that they prohibited prayer in schools from when, 19...
Actually, in 1962 and then 1963.
Yeah, it was a sharp downturn of prayer. I mean, they didn't completely cut it out, but they made it very specific. Children could start a prayer, but a teacher or an administrator could not. Mm. You know, it's to this very day. I had a woman the other day ask me, do you think this was, it was on Saturday night, actually, at this gala that I was at.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, do you think I could do this in the public school? And she was talking about inviting some people to a prayer thing. And I'm like, I think you need to talk to your administration and find out, because you're going to be chastised for, I said, you've just, but this might change things.
Yeah, with this guidance. Trump hasn't, or the Department of Education hasn't released the exact guidance.
No, not yet.
But we know that it's coming. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's, I'm expectant of good things.
And the other thing that, you know, not only that, but he brought up the Johnson Amendment, where the pastors, they would lose their tax exempt status if they supported supported any political nominee, and they couldn't speak about it. So
he came in on that on day one. I mean, he was like, "What is going on? Why is no one talking about this? And why don't you guys pray about this and have people in?" And this is
so sad, though. Did you listen when he's like, "Pastors, can I count on your support?" This is back in 2016. Yeah.
Right.
And they were timid and sad. And he's like, "Why?" And he's like, "Because we fear the pastors. We fear the Johnson Amendment."
Right. Mm-hmm. They would lose their tax exempt status. And he was upset because of the power that the pastors had. And they weren't able to use
it.
They weren't able to use the power that God had given them.
It's so sad. I'm mad.
No, I know. And it's interesting we're talking about this, because we had a meeting on Friday morning here in the Treasure Coast. Treasure Coast Christian Alliance put it on.
Yes.
And they had Eric Dillon back in from Florida Family Voice. And
the CEO.
He's the new CEO of Florida Family Voice. And he gave a real good rendition of his vision for the 17,000 churches across the state of Florida.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And this commission that the president has up in the White House, he has actually, Eric Dillenbach has a vision for that here in Florida. And it's interesting to hear his vision and how he's going forward here. Mm-hmm. The president's doing this nationwide. Mm-hmm. And so there's other states that are starting to hear what Florida's doing. We're kind of on the front line of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was encouraging to hear what he had to say.
It was very encouraging.
He's got a vision for putting all these 17,000 churches, bringing them together and breaking down the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so be listening for that.
That's something that we need to speak about, because the unity, we need unity within our churches. It seems like when you invite one church to another church's event, they don't want to go outside of their four walls. And it's just, it makes me sad, because it's not about one particular church. It's about the kingdom of God.
Well, you heard what he said on Friday.
He did. That's why I'm saying it. I remember.
Yeah, he said, there's two things that we agree on, and once you get past the first two, he said, then you start getting into doctrine and other things that people are kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, the basic foundation of Jesus being Lord, and I mean, that was his thing. He's like, okay, let's gather around those things that we agree on, and then we'll be able to work together to get, you know, the kingdom.
Yes.
Kingdom come, thy will be done.
Just found something in Deuteronomy 4:8, and it's Moses speaking to the people about God's call, his to be in the covenant with God, and the rules of the covenant, and how they apply to the nation of Israel. And it's just kind of dovetails into, I think we're talking about our Constitution, which was really directed by God through the founding fathers, the language of it, the intent of it, the application of it.
Yes.
And when Moses speaks to the people Israel about the covenant, he says this is, and what great nation, and he's thinking of all the nations they knew, what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I have set before you today? And in a way, that statement, we can attach it to the core, our constitutional foundations, because they're from the same God, and they correlate with the covenant that we have with God. And there was a special covenant. We don't often think about it, but when the nation was, we'll call it, founded, when the original the pilgrims came over and on the shores of Cape Henry, when they debarked, and they began, and there was a prayer that was issued by their chaplain. Robert Hunt was his name. It was in 16 something or other, And in the context of the prayer was the language of covenant that was made with God that they agreed to, that this nation would be a nation that from our shores the gospel would be sent all over the world.
Absolutely.
And that's a powerful, and that's a fundamental thing. People say, well, that was so many hundreds of years ago. Why should that apply today? Because it was a covenant made with God.
And God does not break covenant.
God does not break covenant.
He does not break covenant.
And he will call covenant breakers like us back to that commitment that we made.
Yes. Mm. Coming up with our own problems and sins and all of that up against God's covenant, it's a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious thing. And that's why this country, my heart bleeds for this country, because I've seen the degradation of the schools, and even in the churches, what there some of them are preaching now, it's so totally against biblical principles. And I am not, I'm putting myself out there as I have things in my life that, you know, I have to bring back to the Lord and say, you know, where am I? What am I doing? What have I? Where's my heart today? So bringing it back to the people that are in the churches, that are in the cities, that are in the nation, or the states in the nation, it's taking it to ourselves first and coming before a holy God and understanding that he is faithful to forgive, but we have to be willing to come to the foot of the cross and ask for that. So, that's powerful, man.
It brings me to how people say that as Christians or as churches, they need to stay out of politics. That makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
What if Martin Luther King never got involved in civil rights? Think about that. What if, who are some other people?
President Trump's surrounded himself with a bunch of believers in his cabinet, not only in his cabinet, but he set up this faith
commission.
Faith commission. And so he is strongly, seeking God for this nation and for this country and bringing it back on the right track.
Amen.
From the evils and the darkness that was there before.
What's funny is I remember watching clips of him on like Oprah and other places. And they said, well, you're going to run for president, aren't you?
I remember that, too.
They really wanted him to run. And he's like, oh, no, I won't ever, but if I did.
Right. You know what? Because God had that calling for him even before he was born. He was supposed to run. You know what I mean?
Well, how young was he on that program?
I don't know.
He looked like he was in his 50s.
That's been out.
It's been out for a long time because they now have switched their ideas of, we don't like him anymore. Oprah and
they used to love President
Trump.
They did.
Yes, he was a very popular
president. They didn't know
president.
What was going on in his head as far as where the nation was going. Saw it.
Yes, he foresaw it. He loves his nation.
He does love this nation.
So much.
And that's why he ran. I don't know that it was under a godly principle.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was running because he loved this nation. And he
was mad about where he saw the nation going.
He even said that he took advantage of some of the loopholes for his own business that the nation had that I'm sure he probably wanted to close up because it's not really good for the nation. So he was a businessman. That was his deal, but he started to have his eyes opened, just like a lot of us have our eyes open to certain things that God is teaching us and growing us. And there's never a time when God doesn't open his hands to us that we can take what is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that's what's happening to him. He started to see some of these things that's like, wait a minute, these are principles that go back to the Constitution, that go back to the founding fathers. And
he has the original Declaration of Independence in his office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear him talk about that in the speech yesterday? Mm-hmm. Did you know? And here's a quick thing I learned from biblical citizenship. Every right set forth in the Declaration had been preached from the American pulpit prior to 1763. Mm-hmm. So our founding fathers, lots of them sat under preachers.
Or were preachers themselves.
Who revved them up to take a stand.
Yes.
And now we're preaching separation of church and state, which is a lie. You had, who are some other ones in the Great Awakening?
the slow separation from God in this nation. You know,
and yes,
it was the slow separation. Hollywood did a lot with that, right? Hollywood
stripping the prayer from schools did a lot.
Stripping the prayer from schools, right?
Yep.
And what we were seeing, what was more permissible as time went by, right?
Because it slowly does that. The enemy will slowly, slowly pull the fabric of God out of this country.
It does, and then you brought up Deuteronomy, David. And I was reminded of Deuteronomy 6, where, you know, it's all about loving the Lord your God. But in the Deuteronomy chapter 7, and what is it, verse 9? Is it verse 9 here, I think? It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments."
1,000 generations.
1,000 generations for what you were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. God is love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just that President Trump is redirecting this nation back to God through prayer, bringing it out in the open, right? God is opening doors from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't bring this up, but there's a, what is it, Gen Z is a revival going on where they're going to the churches. Is it Gen Z?
Mm-hmm.
Is
that the last millennials, generation? The millennials.
And
I had to look this up. Millennials are between 81 and 96.
Right.
I graduated college in 96.
Years they're born, not chronological.
Yes,
age.
Yes. Sorry. I was going to say, wait a minute. Yeah. And Gen Z was born Gen Z was born between 1997 and 2012. And Stephanie sent a wonderful article that we all read from the Washington Stand, where they are starting these two groups of youth, okay, they're youth, are emerging as the new backbone of church attendance, driving a resurgence in spiritual engagement. These populations of youth are going back to church.
Hallelujah.
That's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing
It's a rise.
Yep.
It's an elevation of millennials, attendance. Church attendance.
Millennials, right. And Gen Z.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Coming back to the Lord.
We're seeing a resurgence. We're seeing a revival in our land, long prayed for, now seeing the evidence of that.
Right.
And we're going to see, these are just the early days, so we're going to see more and more. I was thinking, I do a lot of cruising online. I don't do C-SPAN, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, gosh, I'd rather watch grass grow, but... you know,
I'm a nerd who loves C-SPAN, but anyway, go ahead.
No offense to C-SPAN lovers, but, you know, I just want to get to the heart of it. But I do catch videos of in the House and the Senate where senators are kind of, you know, they're talking about an issue and they're at odds with it. And I'm seeing more and more senators who are believers who are standing up and directly addressing on the floor the issues of concern, issues of sin, and the attitudes that go along with it. And you're seeing the public arguments between the believers and the unbelievers who hold similar office.
Yes.
And that, to me, is a great sign. And I want to speak to hope, because there's a lot of people, right? Maybe now they're saying, well, I've heard there's a lot of bad stuff going on in America, and I'm hearing it from these people on this radio program. But where's the hope? And well, the hope,
David.
Now, we're not giving you just that, but we want to give you the hope too.
Yeah,
we're seeing the signs of revival in America. It's critical. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, God is intending to restore this nation to be the nation that He created, that we began to see when we go back to before pre-Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about with the pastors preaching about, these are essential freedoms that God promises to all who follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kingdom citizens, these are benefits for citizenship in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the very beginning of America, you would see a correlation between what the Bible says are benefits of being citizens of God's kingdom and what the Constitution provides in terms of the rights and privileges of being American citizens. So that has slowly waned, but it's not gone. It's coming back. That's part of why I'm glad to see Trump is asking us to pray for the nation, because our prayers are what God is going to use to restore our land. I hope I'll be alive to see that day.
Here's a quote that he said yesterday. He said, "As president, I will always defend our nation's glorious heritage, and we will protect the Judeo-Christian principles of our founding, and we will protect them with vigor. We have to bring back religion in America. Bring it back stronger than ever before as our country grows stronger and stronger. But to have a great nation, you have to have religion." That's what President Trump calls it, religion. Mm-hmm. But he means God. Mm-hmm. "I believe that so strongly. There has to be something we go after through all of this, and that something is God."
And a verse to President throw in with Trump. That, Isaiah 3:10. "Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds." Mm. And the deeds of prayer are definitely critical in this day. Let's, why don't we take a little break if we can?
Okay.
And let you know you can call in if you want to. 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. Well, welcome back to the last portion of a biblical response for Tuesday, the 9th of September, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I just had to throw that in.
David likes to make voices, too.
I like to get my voice back. Thank Certison.
It seems like
it's coming.
It is better.
It's coming back, yeah, a little bit. Give God praise and glory for that, because definitely I missed it. if you want to call in, you have a comment or a question, 772-221-1100 is the number, 772-221-1100. And I'm just going to throw it back to Stephanie, who's got some commentary for us.
Yeah, we were talking before we broke for our break there. Talked about the next generation and how we're seeing some revival on campuses, and the Bible sales kind of went up, and everybody kind of got, we even did a whole show on that, right?
We did.
About the Bible sales and stuff. The thing that I was doing some research yesterday or today and this morning, and Barna does this whole, they're a research group, and and they're researching, they actually research the churches and how they're dealing with different trends. And they are seeing an increase in millennials and Gen Zs, like you were saying, but they said that discipleship is absolutely essential. It's not just coming back to the churches. It's very essential that we,
good point,
as older Christians, be able to disciple them. I'll just read this. The very last thing in this article was it said, realize that discipleship isn't only a program; it's a lifestyle. Invite younger believers into your home. Open the Bible with them, pray with them, and show them what faithfulness looks like in daily life. If we do that, this hunger among Gen Z and millennials can become the seedbed for real spiritual renewal. And I thought that that was a good thing to be talking about at the end of this show, because we like to somewhat give you some kind of a something that you can physically
do. An
action
item or something.
An action item, yeah. And we're talking about prayer today. So one of the things that I did was also looked up how many different kinds of prayers are there in the Bible. And I don't think there's a way to actually number that.
How do you enumerate that?
Because we can pray the scripture. And we are encouraged to do that. If you don't know how to pray, sometimes talking to God is the way to go. But sometimes in our own mind, we don't always know how to formulate the words. We don't know how to formulate, you know, the idea of what I'm wanting to speak. So Google it. Google, how do I pray a repentance prayer? And I just did that just to see what it would bring up. And it brought up Psalm 51, where King David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And, you know, it's Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity. You know, and as we start to say these prayers to the Lord and speak his word back to him, that's when we have this communion that's far reaching above what we could even think or ask from him. It's his words back to him. And so I just want to just give a little, just a list, I guess. There are different kinds of prayers. So there's repentance prayers, there's blessing prayers, there's praise prayers, which is one of the things that it's fun to praise back to God. You start to get this joy that's like, you have forgiven me of my sins, you know, and it's coming back in his words. There's comfort prayers, Psalm 23. We all know, you know, David's prayer for comfort and peace and trust, help and guidance and forgiveness. This is Psalm 25. So the Psalms are huge prayer verses, right? But then it went to the New Testament, and it talked about, one more thing. There's only one prayer in the book of Proverbs. I didn't know that. And it's a wisdom prayer, and it was King Solomon's prayer for wisdom in 1 Kings 3:3-9. It was, but in the New Testament, obviously, we have the Lord's Prayer. I mean, that is the, you know, the model prayer for the disciples. And
for everybody, where Jesus taught us how to pray.
He taught us how to pray in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And then he also prayed a priestly prayer. And it comes right before his arrest and shows the priority on his heart as he anticipated the cross. He prays for himself. He prays for his disciples, and he prays for future generations of believers, which is that,
that John 17?
He prayed for us. You know what? I didn't write down the address on that one. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. But he prays for future generations. That means he was praying for us.
Beautiful.
In that garden.
Amen.
And then he prayed in Luke 23:24, he prayed for his executioners, forgive them.
Oh, wow.
For they know not what they do. Mm. So there is every kind of prayer that you could possibly think of in the Bible, because God's word can be used as a prayer. The Apostle Paul went into different kinds of prayer. He prayed in Romans for joy, peace, and hope. He prayed in Colossians for wisdom and understanding. That's one we need. He says
daily, he
will not deny wisdom. If you ask for wisdom, he will give you wisdom.
As
he will not deny that.
As many times as you want, ask for it.
That's right. Boldness in Acts 4:24. And then the prayer to end all prayers is in Revelation 22:20. And that is, come Lord Jesus. Mm. And we don't pray that prayer very often. We're looking at what we have here. And I just want to say this. Kevin Holleran from OpenTheBible.org wrote this, and I thought this was so good. It is common to hear cries like, end justice, end injustice, end trafficking, end racism. We as believers should agree wholeheartedly with these cries. And yet, praying, come Lord Jesus, raises the bar as high as possible.
Wow.
It includes those cries and several more that are much more, that are much greater.
Mm.
End sin, end all suffering, end death.
Mm. Wow.
Whoa.
That's beautiful. Wow.
I was blessed by that this morning.
I would say that. Well,
I think we're all in awe right now. That's why we're speechless.
Really, yeah, wow.
Very powerful.
I hope we've inspired people to
pray.
Think about their own prayer life.
Right. And just, you know, just talking to God, just opening up your heart and talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you feel, you know?
Yeah.
God, you know?
Yes.
You know, I was delivered from my addictions, you know, just to call out to God. First call out to God and let him know.
Right.
You know,
just
that you're looking for
him.
Pour out your heart.
Yeah.
And to let him know that, you know, you're searching for him if you don't know him. And that if you do know him, well, you're probably familiar with praying and you're talking to God constantly anyway. As 1 Thessalonians says, right? Pray constantly.
Pray constantly.
All
and always give thanks.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Amen. But there's also, it's important, though, to also mention that a necessary aspect of prayer is where you are quiet before the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, listen.
You know, I mean,
I
get tired of the laundry list, right? You know, the grocery list. Oh, Lord, I need this, I need that, da, da, da,
right.
Da. You know, and okay, we know those are important prayers. But, this is confession time, that over the years I've somehow let go of that contemplative prayer, that where I am before the Lord. I am not giving him, I'm not talking, I'm listening. I'm open to hearing because he wants, and I'm looking upon him with whatever eyes of love that I have. And God loves that. He wants that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if a lot of people really do that. And I'm getting back to it. So not to be self-righteous now, but I'm getting back to it. So I want to make you feel bad. No. But I think it's important that we spend some time with God just
listening.
We live in such a busy world.
We
that,
do.
That if I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm
convicted
there with
too, because
okay?
I talk a lot to the Lord and I'm not listening when he has to say back.
Yeah.
Imagine
it's like me talking
to Stephanie right now and then she can't talk back, you know?
I got to go out and do stuff now, so yeah.
Sorry, Lord. You know, that's...
But we have to be conscious of taking the time.
And one of those ways of listening to what God has to say is through reading his word in the scripture.
It's a cyclical thing.
It's a cyclical thing.
Yeah.
So, it is. It's true.
You know,
it has to be a priority to get in the word.
Right.
It has to
and
be.
As he says, draw near to me and I will
draw near to you.
Right?
Yes.
So,
Yeah.
You know, we stumble, we fall, and but
you just get back right back up.
Just get right back up. Yeah. So, and this was all from President Trump starting his initiative with prayer for the nation and bringing people together in God, bringing people together in God and asking for prayer. President Trump is asking for prayer.
So let's pray for our country.
And then praying for our country, right?
I think that's a great thing to do, Keith.
Keith, should let us out in prayer. Because if I do it, I might be getting kicked under the table because I pray too long.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Yeah. Yes. Let's go ahead and pray. Yeah, Speaking of prayer, let's go ahead and...
Yeah. Keith, well, you know, and I just... Before this goes, President Trump, there's a website here, and it's 100 top 100 victories for people of faith. And this is what President Trump is doing in the White House for the people of faith.
Mm-hmm. Where is that so people can see it? You said it's a website?
No. Well, let me see.
We could Google it.
It came up
on
my screen.
You have to Google it.
You mentioned it.
I did.
So what is it called again?
It's called President Trump's Top 100 Victories for People of Faith. Okay. It's from the White House, and it's dated from yesterday, September 8, 2025.
So you could go to whitehouse.gov. Just go to whitehouse.gov. Okay. It was put up 23 hours ago.
Right. So that was from his speech. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for this nation. We thank you, Father God, for the freedoms of this nation that you have bestowed upon us and you have given to each and every one of us, Father God. And we just ask you, Lord, we lift our nation up to you, Father God, in prayer for protection of our leadership, Lord, to keep them safe, to protect them, to put a hedge of protection around this nation, Lord, to keep us our eyes on you, to bless this nation, to bless the offices of this nation, Father God. We thank you for them. We lift them up, Lord. And all them that cry out to you, Lord, we just ask you to answer them in their prayers and to hear our words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. We have a couple of minutes yet before you have to go. And I would just say, as part of the call to action, believers out there listening in, you're a believer, you're a churchgoer, you're very involved in your church. But maybe the discussion of prayer has made you stop to think, well, what's happening at my church? Mm-hmm. Are there prayer groups at your church you can become a part of? And if there are not, do you think God might use you to start a group of praying for America, certainly?
Well, David, I'm sorry, but as President Trump is asking people to get together for the churches, as they're in church, if they're doing a prayer group to include the nation in their prayer group.
Yes. Yeah.
Or to start one.
Yep. And that's what I was sort of reminding our listeners that they can do that. Either their church has one or they can start one.
Right.
And if you're not churched, then the first task you have is to find a church that you can be a part of that is Bible believing and God honoring.
Huge.
Yeah. And go from there. So
we have a prayer group every Friday morning at 6:30. It kicks off.
At your church?
No, just a bunch of guys getting together. It's a men's group, prayer group.
Okay.
Fridays at 6:30. Women's groups, prayer groups. You know.
So it's
we have to make it part of our life. On the way to the office, I was talking to my best friend on the phone, and I'm just praying for her. Mm-hmm. You know, like we just need to it needs to be just coming out of her tongue. You know, if somebody's going through something, start praying.
Amen.
You know,
and along with that, one last bit of advice to you. Because some people will say, well, I prayed and prayed, nothing happened. Well, guess what? You don't move God. God loves you.
And he always knows
But it's all about God. It's not all about you. But it is, we pray, we offer that from our heart to God. We trust him to move in his time. His time is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to be your time, because I hate to admit this to you, but you're not perfect, and your timing is not perfect. But you trust God, and when you trust God, that's really all you need to do. And pray, and he will move, and always there's an answer. But right now, we're going to move to say, God bless you. Goodbye. Thanks for listening. We'll be seeing you next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore,
email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David at a biblical response.